Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? We are back here with another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. I am Wicho Medina, your host, with my tiny but mighty crazy team tonight. How is everyone doing tonight? How you doing, beautiful people?
What's up, beautiful people?
Hey, she's back. She's back.
I am back.
How you doing
enjoying
tonight,
Danny? The night. Here. I'm here.
That's good.
Strong and beautiful.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Capos, strong and beautiful, or what?
Always strong and beautiful. Just a little hot, but other than that, strong and beautiful.
it's getting hot. Yeah, I was up in Hesperia today, 112. I was like,
holy shit!
Wow,
it's like
120
Iraq,
in Palm Springs.
Oh my God. Iraq. Yeah, that sucks. But anyways, we're not here to talk about the weather or give you a weather report. You know, you're in California, suck it up, and then just go to the beach if you want to fix it really quick. We are here to have a quick powwow with our guest tonight, good friend of mine, Johnny Mazariegos. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing amazing, man. Great.
Wow. Right on. So as we get into this, we have Campos over here with the bio of our guest.
Just a quick intro or quick bio of our guest tonight. So he's a business coach, he's a real estate investor, and an entrepreneur. In fact, at the age of 16, you know, he was saying he knew how to make money. The only problem was he didn't know how to multiply it. And I think that's
crazy.
It is, right? And I was just saying before we even aired, we started on the air here, I was like, you know what? My son has that same problem.
He
knows how to make some money. He just don't know how to multiply it, you know?
You know, before we expand on that, there's a lot of meat in that bone right there, right?
Right.
So let's, before we expand on that, why don't we go ahead and touch on his quote, Danny?
His quote is, best know beats best. I like
best known beats best. I like that too, man.
I do too.
There's a lot to talk about here, but man, I don't know where to start. Do we go off of the what you stated, Campos, or the quote?
Let's dissect that quote, man, because I like that. I think it's pretty cool. I think that because I'm much more well known than you guys, so I'll beat you guys all day long.
Right on, there you go.
Ouch.
There you go.
Yeah. But that's the gist of the quote, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can be better known than your competition, you're going to beat them out all day, right?
Yeah.
How does that shit work with Coke and Pepsi, though?
McDonald's. How about Starbucks?
Right.
Does Starbucks have the best coffee?
No, they suck.
No, they don't. I like McDonald's coffee better than Starbucks coffee.
But and Starbucks I'm a coffee guy. Known.
Yeah.
Starbucks is better known for coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer my homemade coffee, right? But I like McDonald's flavored iced coffee better than Starbucks coffee.
The iced coffee is not even coffee. Don't do that to us.
Yeah,
I'm a coffee lover. Don't do that.
No.
The crazy thing is that Starbucks didn't start selling coffee. That's not even the build a brand.
Right.
They didn't sell coffee when they started.
When they started out with
coffee. What they started with. I don't know
They used to sell the beans, but not the actual served coffee cups.
Not the service.
That's what I like.
But it goes back to, again...
Yeah,
Starbucks is not the best coffee.
Right.
It's not how it starts, it's how it went.
Yeah, that's right. Best known beats best. Yeah, right? All day long.
I mean, it's the marketing we were talking about earlier, how you create that omnipresence, and then every time everybody thinks cheeseburger, you know, they lean to something immediately. It could be Burger King or McDonald's, whoever the most powerful trend is, right?
Yeah.
And they, if you say coffee, everybody's going to think
Starbucks.
It's just ingrained. It's part of their thinking system now. As a matter of fact, kids, you know, the new generation, not like us, you know, they only know Starbucks. There's more chances that a new upcoming kid, I'll speak for mine, maybe 14, 16, they'll never drink coffee at home. But you tell them, let's go to Starbucks, they'll jump on that cart in a beat. Because they're going to go get the experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you're stepping into experience now. Now they create an experience.
Right? So yeah, it's the environment. We were talking about the environment, yeah. Right? Yeah. It's all the components that want that consumer to become a repeat consumer.
And it works.
And it fucking works, dude. You know? But, I mean, expand on your quote, man. Best known beats best by Johnny Cashflow.
That is correct. So the way I expand is that, okay, we're investors.
Right.
All right. 99% of the people right now, they don't pick up a book. All right. They don't pick up a newspaper. What do they pick up? What do you want to research an investor?
Your phone?
YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. So why wouldn't I want to be on social media, be on YouTube, and be in Google and promote myself?
Right.
Because with your... You can be the best investor.
Yeah.
But if you don't put yourself out there so people can know you,
yeah,
they're never going to call you.
Right.
But if I am active and I understand that best known beats best, and by knowing that through the phone, through marketing,
mm-hmm.
people are going to know me, they're going to come do business with me.
Yeah.
So when
because you're right there.
Yeah. Well, they see me.
Right.
They're going to Google investor. If I'm always on Google and social media, not doing car wheels, actually creating content and bringing value.
Yeah.
Right.
They're going to know me now.
Right.
Holy shit, this guy comes out everywhere.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
And then you read my bio. I wanted to get to know him now. Now you click on my consultation. Now you know me.
And you know what's interesting is that they might go through a click or two. They might not like you, right? They might not connect with you right then and there, but then you come up again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it comes down to this. So I always tell everybody, I won't say our as a generalizing, but for me, my music, my Mexican music, regional mexicana, it sucks. It sucks because of this. It is not only that. It's so easy for all these upcoming stars to be so visible and so popular overnight through social media and TikToks and likes and shares and all that shit. Right. Now they're forcing distributors of the product of music or video to be ready. They're now programmed to expect a new product in 3 to 6 months. And if you don't have that new product in 3 to 6 months, you stayed behind. Because guess what? Your neighbor, your singer, or your movie star, he's actually working on something else. And now everybody's reprogrammed to expect. Now we're like on this, we're a consumer, you know, we're a consumer society. We want, we want, we want, we want, we want, we want. So even if they click on your landing page and they don't like you, you're there again. And then you're there again. You know, how many times have you turned on the radio station, heard a song that you hate? It doesn't connect. You just don't like the tune or the tone or whatever.
But then you're humming it all day.
Yeah. And then like two weeks later, you're singing the song.
Yep.
That's that marketing.
Yep.
Marketing is senior to sales.
Yeah.
A lot of sales people think like, I'm great at sales. But yeah, but you suck at marketing. How are you going to have sales? How are you going to be great if you suck at marketing?
Right.
That's a good point. I think that a lot of people struggle with that, right? Gift of gab, being able to close, but if you can't bring people in the door, how are you going to close them? Yeah, 100%, yeah. Man. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But marketing is a huge miss for a lot of people.
It's definitely senior to sales.
Yeah, I agree.
It has to, because that's what salespeople get frustrated. They're like, I'm the greatest salesman. When I was a dealership, I used to kill it. And now I'm in real estate and I can't get a lead. I'm like, where's your marketing?
Right.
Right.
That's why you can't close. You can't close. You can't be the greatest closer if you have no sales.
Empty pipeline.
Yeah. What drives the pipeline? Marketing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had, yeah. I mean, I've spoken about this a couple of times here pre-COVID. We had a couple storm in the office, and they're just bawling out, just crying and crying and crying. I'm like, well, what's wrong, dude? Like, did somebody just die? Or did you run somebody over? What the hell happened? The man was more distressed than the lady was, right? And I don't mean to make this a macho thing, but, you know, he was, like, shattered. And I'm like, dude, what's, like, hold your tight. Like, what is it? He's like, I just lost the lead. And I'm like, and you are crying over a lead that you were, a deal that you were going to sign. And he said, yeah. And I'm like, well, okay, well, let's talk about it. It came down to this. It wasn't that they were crying about, they thought they were crying about the deal that went south. But then I made him understand that it was the real reason that made him cry was that it was his only deal he had in his pipeline. Right. So I said, well, I mean, when you lose a deal, just work on the next one.
Grab the next one.
Like, I don't have another one. So you put all your effort and all your energy, you put your wife's energy and all her effort into believing. You believe it so much. You made yourself, you told yourself this so many times that you saw the check and you saw the car and you saw the vacation and you experienced that drink on the beach. And the deal went south. You know, it's like, so for him, it was like he had no pipeline, no marketing whatsoever. And then it crushed him. You know what he did? He quit out of the business.
Wow.
It was that bad.
Look, wow.
You know?
I'm a man of faith.
Yeah.
I believe in it. I believe in him. But praying, crossing your fingers, it's not a business strategy.
100%. In fact, we're kind of talking about that earlier.
Let's just call out what it is.
Yeah.
In the morning, grateful, my gratitude. He gave you the greatest gift. It's life.
Right.
Pick up the phone and make some calls and help some families.
And that's the thing, though, right? I think that, you know, to your point, what you're saying is, you know, the praying and the crossing my fingers and, oh, hoping something happens. Now, being a man of God, the Bible says this, and I'm not going to get all religious here, but it's a quote in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:33, faith without works is dead, meaning you can have all the faith that you want, but if you're not putting in the work, nothing's going to fucking happen. You know what I mean? And then, like, we're talking about this earlier, what I was saying is, you know, eventually you won't need faith because you put your works in enough that things start to happen. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to sit there and hope and believe something is going to happen. It just happens. Right. And then the faith, then now, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. Right.
Yeah.
And that's how you continue to grow your business. And that's how things continue to work for you. My experience is I do a lot of marketing through mailers, like postcards. Okay. Right. And sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. But you know what? I don't need them all to work. I just need one or two to work. Right.
Yeah.
And that's it. And do I worry about them not working? No, I already know it's going to work. Maybe this batch of maybe this batch run, maybe nothing comes out of it. But you know what? The next one will. And if it doesn't, that's okay, because the next one will. And all I need again is one.
It's part of the business.
Exactly.
I think he's holding back. He knows something he doesn't want to tell you with you.
What is it, man? Fucking tell us right now. Spill the beans.
Tell you right now. He's not telling. He's being selfish. He knows the numbers.
Oh, he's
numbers
got his
don't lie.
Yeah, 100%.
See, he knows his numbers, and this is what a lot of people miss in business.
Okay,
you already know this. You're an investor. Numbers don't lie. People lie.
Yeah.
Yep.
If I know my numbers is 100 conversations lead to 10 people that I am interested in your product, out of those 10 people, one of them will convert.
Yep.
So today, I'm gonna not 100 calls. I'm gonna have 100 conversations, and I'm not gonna leave my office until I don't hold those 100 conversations. And those will lead to 10. 10 will lead, one is going to make the deal.
Yeah. Right.
And 100%. Then you're not shocked. And you're not disappointed, or you're not dreaming of like, oh my God,
yeah,
the piña colada is gone.
Simple math.
Just go back home. You know what? Today, I only made 50 conversations. I didn't give him 100%.
Right. And
but
own it.
Take full responsibility. But tomorrow,
I'm
getting my ass in the office
I'm
at
double 8. Down.
Double down. Yep. 150 conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it continues on, if you're not getting it, I've got an advice for you guys. Get off the business. Get off the business. Because
we have a story about that.
Yeah, yeah. But it goes back to one of the things that I do teach is do reverse math.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. 90% you focus on the target. Okay. If your target is to make $100,000 in 90 days, in the morning I'm waking up with $100,000 in my mind.
Okay.
9% is who am I going to get those 100,000?
Okay.
The 1% is the mechanics.
Got it. Okay.
How in the hell am I going to do this?
Yeah.
So what? Okay, that's my mindset. 90% is 100,000 in 90 days. Probably 99% of the people, they wake up with the 1%. How am I going to make 120,000 and they stay in bed?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I don't know who am I going to call. So they stay there. They never get up. But if you put yourself that, hey, I'm getting up and I'm going to make 100,000.
Yeah.
And the way you're dressing 100,000, you're walking down the stairs and all of a sudden you're in the car. You're like, oh, yeah, I got 9 people that I'm going to call. And then when I get to the office, I'm going to use my computer. That's the mechanics.
Yeah.
Now you're in the office calling those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to have 90% of your energy has to be focused on the target, not a goal. And the reason I don't like goals, because goals move.
Right.
A target doesn't move.
Yeah.
So hit targets. It's great to have a goal throughout the day because it does pivot.
Right. All right.
Even a quarter, a year.
Yeah.
But make sure you have a target to hit.
Right.
And adjust.
We have a section in one of our books where we talk about the target. You cannot have a goal without having a target.
Okay.
You know, so it's like if you know, I always say January, then February, right? It's the right things in the right sequence. If you have a target and you miss bullseye, just fine tune. You know?
Pivot.
You know, it's like, what is it? Like, it's so interesting how even now my son was showing me he's got a bow and arrow game on his phone. And he says, hey, papi, go try this. And I just shoot. He's like, no, you got to measure the wind. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, look at this. This is the wind, and this is the speed, and then this is the angle you have to shoot upwards for accounting for drag for that arrow to go and then gain that altitude to be able to prolong its descent. Just glide down into the target instead of shooting straight. And I'm like, all this counts? I'm like, yeah, you got to – and yeah.
Numbers.
You know, it's – Adapting into what is it that's going to get you closer to that bullseye.
Right. But going hand in hand with the numbers. Now, did I know the numbers out the gate? No. But you have to go through that. Right?
You have to try.
You have to shoot that arrow and let the wind hit it so you know how to adapt.
Yeah.
Right? And then do it again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't always, it's not, because the wind's going to blow every which way. Right?
Yeah.
We can only control, like, we can't necessarily control the seasons, right? But if we plant the seeds correctly, we water them throughout, right? Then hopefully when, you know, we reap what we sow, right?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Right? Yeah.
You just got to understand what you're doing.
But we got to take a little bit about, you know, a little of lady power over here. Come on, the perspective from the ladies.
I'm quiet. You guys are just talking.
Well, I mean, that's what you do on a podcast.
I'm just hiding.
Do you go based on targets or goals or?
Me?
Yeah. Do you even write goals or targets every day?
I have more targets than writing goals. My goals are long term. So I usually, when I have to do my my job, my daily job, my daily routine, I go for targets, yeah. Not the goals are long term. So if I start looking at them all the time, I know where I want to be in 5 years. But if I look at them, I might get tired. So it's like a reverse, right? Reverse
engineering.
Engineering, not mortgage.
You do lending too?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but everybody's been conditioned to think goals.
Well, yeah, it's programmed.
It's the way everybody's programmed. You know, it's like it's just easier to teach and easier for everybody to follow, and then easier for everybody to fail.
I think it's two different things, right? I think just like how Danny's saying it, right? Goals are more, it's your long term, right? But in order for you to get there, you got to reverse engineer it and come up with targets.
With the targets.
Your targets on the daily. In fact, we just had this conversation. Oh, you were not yesterday, but had a conversation with one of our students about that. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm not getting there. Okay, well, you have to start with what is it you want to accomplish?
Yeah.
And then reverse engineer it and then hit those marks. Figure out what it is you have to hit daily, weekly, monthly to accomplish to where you want to go over whatever that time frame is.
Right.
Right. So I think they go hand in hand. That's my thought.
Like with my mentees, I have a one call like a month, like mm-hmm. 45 minutes. We just get on it and they just vent. So I make them do a stupid goal, a stupid target, like okay. What you want to make.
Yeah.
It's not what scares them. Like somebody told me 5 million. Like we did the whole math. I'm like, dude, you want to make 5 million in 3 months? And he's like, holy shit, the 5 millions. I'm like, that's not what's scaring you. What's scaring you is the activities, what requires to get to 5 million.
Yeah.
The number's not, because if you think about it, 5 million is nothing.
Yeah.
10 million is nothing. It's peanuts.
Yeah.
You're talking about billionaires, bro. Being a millionaire right now, it's average.
Yeah.
You're in survivor mode. Well, here in California.
Right.
So, yeah. But when you do these goals with these mentees and some people, I notice that it's not the number that scares them.
It's
the amount of activities that you have to do to get there.
The work.
The work. Yeah. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
And that's what people are like, oh, I'm not doing that. Exactly, you're not. That's why you're not part of the 1%.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're not willing to
wake up,
sacrifice
at
and you know, say no to the next wedding and the next quinceañera and shit, you know, like the next carne asada and all that. You got to decide where you want to be, you know, because you could be the fun one, and then everybody's going to call you because you're the fun one. And the minute you make a decision to change your life and not be the fun one, your phone's going to stop ringing. You know, and then you're going to be the asshole in the group. Like, you don't want to kick around with us anymore, hang around. Well, no, because I made a decision. Yeah, you're boring. You don't.
You changed.
Know. Yeah. But anyways, it's life.
So the way it goes, and it's funny you brought that up, like, what do you have to give? So it goes back to, we start with, give me your goal. Mm-hmm. Second was 10x that goal. And the third one, get some. Because in the third one, the question is, what is that you need to give up in order to achieve those two?
Oh, yeah.
They were like, whoa, what do you mean I need to?
Yeah, that, I think that's one of the biggest downfalls. And we talk about that. You million dollar, you want a million-dollar lifestyle, or you're $1 million in your account, you got to do million-dollar activities.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's where a lot of people fall off, right? A lot of people. I mean, we tell some of our stories of what we've done, you know, with sacrifice of family, sacrifice of friends, sacrifice of sleep, sacrifice of money, right? And everybody's like, oh, shit, really? Like, it takes that? Yes. And some people, like, I've spoken to, you know, just in the sense of hours in a day, right? Like, if I know I have tasks that I need to complete to hit my target for the day, then I need to make sure I hit that. I don't give a shit if it's 2 a.m. I don't care if it's 3 a.m. I have to get up at 5:00. I'm still going to accomplish what I need to accomplish.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I make myself fall behind, right?
Yeah.
And people will do the old, oh, yeah, I wouldn't need to do that. Okay, cool. You know, that's you, right?
And it's fine. I think Bill Gates gets up at 9:00. He does it in 4 hours, 5 hours. call me stupid. It takes me 12 hours, but I'm gonna get it done.
Right.
And then you said about sleeping. I got a quote, but I got a saying about that. Sleep faster, buddy. Yeah. I was like, you worried about sleep? Sleep faster.
Yeah.
Right.
That's you what know, it is.
Yeah. Steve Harvey says it best, right? Ain't no millionaire. How's he say? Ain't no millionaire sleeping 8 hours a day, right? Especially on the West Coast. He says, if you're getting up at 8 o'clock, they're already been making decisions for 2.5 hours without you, or 2 hours without you.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. He said it, if you invest your money in the stock market.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, in the West Coast, by the time you get up, they've already lost the money. Yeah. like that. Yeah.
And it goes back to another one of my mentors. He talks about living 3 days in one. Mm. When a lot of people says, oh, the year has 365, according to you.
Right.
Because in my world, the Cashflow Academy, time is made up.
Mm.
Money is made up.
Yeah.
Somebody came up and told you, let's create the 1 o'clock or 6 o'clock, the sun comes down. Back in the days when we were kicking the stones, like, there was no fucking clock.
No.
It's like the money part. Somebody created and money, let's stamp it and it's charged and create taxes. So the 365 days, somebody made that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for us, we live 3 days. Like for me, 4 to 7 or 4 to 8 o'clock, it's me time. That's my day.
Nobody, you have that blocked out.
Oh, it's me time. Nobody bothers me. There's no kids. Nobody calls me. Escrow doesn't call me. An investor doesn't call me.
Yeah.
That's my day.
Yeah.
So once I live my day, my God, I get to serve in the second day.
Yeah.
And that's 8 to 1 o'clock. Serve my mentees, escrow other people. And then from one, guess what? I live another day to prospect. And then everybody tell me, why are you doing that before prospecting? You know, first thing you should be doing is prospecting. That's our number one job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I break it down like that. You know what I mean? I just don't go back to, because I'm running other businesses that I have to report to investors.
Yeah.
But I separate them to 3 days. And they're like, well, when you spend time with your family? And when I go home.
Right.
And what's really helped me, I don't know if you do this, I think I share this with you. It's getting in the driveway, because you come heat it. Yours always in the phone.
Yeah.
And then what I used to do before, I go in the phones, I go inside the house. And then my daughter will say something, my wife will say something, because I'm on the phone, I'm not present.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do now is stay in the driveway for like 20 minutes. Answer all the texts, all the emails, all the phone calls, shut it off.
And then leave it off. Yeah, I think you did tell me that.
Yeah, and just calm down everything. Because we're very, I seen you, you're like moving around.
Yeah.
Like, that's the lifeline. If you're if you're stall, if you're not doing anything, if you're not moving, that means you're dead.
Yeah, you're dying. Yeah.
You're dying. Where you think your high rate is like this, it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the things I learned is stay in your side in the driveway, shut everything down, and be present when you open that door.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And you said something about, you know, the very specifically about prospecting. Why do you think prospecting is so unsexy, man? Like, everybody wants the fucking result. Nobody wants to do the prospecting side of the business.
Because they don't know the numbers. And remember, life, I get it, life is not easy.
Yeah.
My life is simple. Because I understand the numbers. And this for me, prospecting is a game.
Yeah.
It's part of the marketing game.
It's mindset.
Yeah.
Because now I can be with you, and I can tell you, you know what? From 8 to 12, let's see how many listings we get.
Right.
Like, how many prospects, how many families can we help?
Yeah.
I bet you by 11 o'clock, I have 4 families that I helped.
Yeah.
See, our mindset is different. We're not calling it cold calling.
Right.
We're ready to, from 8 to 12, we're going to help 4 families get out of foreclosure.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah.
It's game on.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I make
good way of looking at it, right?
Yeah, that's a game. It's a game. But I know the numbers too.
Right. And so, I mean, when I would cold call, like, I would make a game out of it. I had to, right?
Yeah.
No, you have to, right? But mine would be
no.
But I would count my no's so I can start realizing what my numbers are before I can actually have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
So it took me about, I don't know, a week or so to kind of get things figured out, right? And then once I started really, you know, diving into it and saying, oh, shit, okay, I was at like 100, maybe 150 calls, somewhere around there, before I actually had a good conversation with somebody. So now, making that game, but now understanding my numbers, now you have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Now it changes the whole dynamic of what you're doing because it doesn't feel like work anymore. And then I get a lot of people, oh, man, I hate cold calling. You know what? I had fun with it.
No, you hate cold calling. How many calls you made? 10.
10. Exactly.
What?
Exactly.
10? But then if you write it down, dude, it is amazing. So we have a call habit tracker that we track our calls like you are. And if you have a successful day, like I said, on Monday, and you have 3 appointments, you can always go back to that day and duplicate the same activities.
Yeah.
Because if in that sheet you saw that it took you 30 calls to get one appointment, going back to your saying, that Thursday you starting over again and you go to 15, you're like, wow, I'm 15% to go getting that appointment because I know by the 34th I'm going to get it.
Right,
I keep going because I'm getting closer and closer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now because you're tracking your numbers.
Yep. Yeah. It's just like scripts, you know, like when you have scripts. I forget who it was that said that scripts to his company were crucial. His company would not operate without the scripts.
My company, which.
And, yeah. I was asking, okay, why is it so important? Like, why would you not turn your lights on if the scripts aren't there? He said, because all the scripts are copy and paste to everyone in the room. And if we get somebody in the door with misinformation, we know he's not following the script.
Systems and process in place.
Right.
Systems
right?
and process in place, yep.
So there's absolutely no way that we can mislead somebody out of our control. Because at the end of the day, when everybody comes in through your door, through a controlled environment, it doesn't matter who they go to, everybody has the same script.
So how does scripts suck? And because I got a lot of heat with this. You're like a robot. You sound like a script. I'm like, wait a minute.
Spoke about the robot,
so man. I'm checking this out. So if I look up Brad Pitt, didn't he use a script?
Yep. Yeah.
Denzel.
So Washington. Why would I'm a professional
mm-hmm.
in real estate
mm-hmm.
as an investor? Why don't I have a system and process as a professional? LeBron James has to go practice.
That's a script.
And that's a script. He has call plays. He has a playbook that he has to follow.
Yeah.
Script.
Okay, there's a script. And what people who say scripts don't work is because they don't understand. It goes back again. They don't understand the numbers. They don't understand what a script does in order to bring value to families.
Right. Right.
So going back, does everybody in our business understand what a script is?
I think everybody's so, this is my take on it. I think everybody's so, their attention span and their intention span is so short that, you know, they look at a script and then they see a new ad on Facebook and then they go click on that one with the script in the same industry. And then they go click at, they haven't even memorized one. And now at the end, after 5 different scripts, they have a clusterfuck of thought processes with no clarity. And what does a confused mind do? It just sits. It doesn't do anything. Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's getting tougher by the day. Social media, I do think, honestly, I'll say this for myself, it's made me dumber. Right? It's made me dumber. It has made me so fucking dumb. And I'll give you a quick story. I was driving down the 91 freeway, passing McKinley Street, heading west towards Riverside. And I tell my wife, pull out your calculator. I'm going to tell you how many miles your car has. I'm going to tell you, based on how much the gallon is, I'm going to tell you how many miles, how much you spent. On these miles, all math, reverse engineer. And she was like, oh, my God, look, you got it to the T. This was 15 years ago, man. Now, like, I catch myself going, what's 3 + 3? I was a mathematician, dude. I was, you know, it was my survivor mode because I went to school here. Then I would go to Mexico 1 year here, 1 year in Mexico. And then the common denominator for me to feel safe and belong and be accepted was math.
Yeah.
I said, shit, who wants to know about Benito Juarez here in the U.S.? Or who gives a fuck about George Washington in Mexico? But then I figured, but math connects me in both places.
Yeah.
And I was a great mathematician until I bought a calculator or an iPhone.
It ruined it.
You know?
Hey, same thing with GPS, man.
Yeah.
Shit. I used to know how to get to everyone anywhere. You know what I mean? Now, shit, hold on. Let me get my GPS because, you know, I don't want to get lost.
Right.
I mean, it's all the time.
Now it's long gone.
Technology, though. It's just not even social media. It's just technology in general. You know what I mean?
It is. It's affecting us and new generations to come in the absence of common sense.
Yeah.
They don't. It's
ChatGPT.
Yeah, it's not even valuable anymore to have common sense.
It's because you gotta understand, are you going to be a consumer or a creator?
Right. Well, I mean, the creators are struggling.
It's like time. You know, it's like
consumers are like, what's next?
It's like a cell phone. And it's not a trick question, but you know why cell phones were created, correct? And it wasn't to I can FaceTime you, and it wasn't right. because I can send you a text, and it wasn't because it made it easier, what's it called, to call you and communicate. It was to save time.
I was gonna say to distract you.
No, that's common the thing. Sense. That's the thing when you the phone. That's what people don't understand when you cold calling. We'll call it cold calling. For me, it's helping. I call it. I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to help families.
Yeah.
And I'm going to save time. Instead of me driving, I'm going to make a phone call.
Right.
Right. So it's when you understand the tools. It's like when you use a CRM.
Yeah.
A lot of people think a CRM is distracting and is overwhelming. I'm never going to need it because they don't understand the tools.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you understand the power, why was the phone designed?
Yeah.
You're going to use it for that. And for me, the phone is to save time. Instead of me going door knock, I call them. And guess what? Because this phone does not leave people's hands.
Yeah. I mean, we can go, I guess, a whole night going back and forth about door knocking and cold calling.
I love both. I love both. It's just that.
And it really depends on what is.
What is it?
Your got, best got, tool of approach,
I,
right?
I got bad knees.
Oh, there you go.
I got bad knees, all right? So I'm not going to go down there. Is it effective? It is.
Yeah.
You talked about postcards. Your ideal prospect for postcards is 60 to 65, correct? What's the wealth getting transferred now? Not knowing your market, knowing your business.
Right.
Right now, transfer wealth, it's happening with 60, 65 years old.
Oh, yeah. Baby boomers.
Baby boomers, right? They call it the silver tsunami.
Oh, I thought silverback.
Not the silver,
like that's myself.
That's a silver tsunami. It's the transfer of wealth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, they're not going to go on Instagram and look for a realtor or an investor or sell the property.
No.
They're still picking up their mailers. Mail. And that's where you're having success. But
You'd be surprised, actually.
But you do pick up the postcard. I see my father-in-law. He still goes and gets the postcard.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'll even get a call. I'll get a call from an old guy.
Yeah.
Just to tell me that, oh, thanks. I'm not interested. I'm like, what the fuck? For real. No joke. So, yeah, you're right in the sense that they do pick up the mail and they don't throw it away. And there's some old people that look at every piece of mail, for believe it or not. You know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I call them the courteous old people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that strategy is not bad, all right? And goes back to a lot of my agents. Some of the agents says, I'm not having business. I go, first of all, you don't know your product. And know your business. Mm. Right now, right, I mentee a lot of agents. And they're saying, hey, bro, I'm not getting any business. And I'm like, okay, I totally agree with you. Where is your business coming from? He goes, referrals, but that's not enough. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So check this out. I go, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Every time you sell a house, you have to report where you get it from.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've done a transaction lately, but you have to say, hey, it was a referral or family member, it was an online lead.
Yeah.
25% of the business is coming from referrals right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 25 is coming like because of the previous transaction you did with that person.
Yeah. Repeat customer.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
Rest of it is coming from Google.
Mm.
And why? Because whenever you want something, guess the first thing you do?
You Google it.
You Google it. Mm. And it's okay if you want to send postcards. But now you just literally eliminated the 50% of where the business is at. So if you want to capture 25, it's fine. But if your target is to make 10 million, you should be in this bucket. That's why I tell people, it's fine. Do your referrals. Knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
But you just made a goal of making 2 million a year. It's not going to be from referrals because you just told me you only get 10 referrals.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's math.
And then they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, you need to come to this lake because this is where everybody's fishing at.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with your fish's little ones over there.
No.
But I think that it's just a matter of multiplying, right? Do this and that. If we can get 25%
multiple
there,
source of
exactly.
Exactly. Income and lead generation.
Lead generation, exactly. Yeah.
Multiple absolutely. Sources of lead generation.
Because 5 years, 6 from now, those postcards are not going to be active.
Probably.
But you have to be ready.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting you say that because, you know, there's always a recycling of cycles.
Yeah.
You know, it always happens. There's always a recycling of cycles. Like, you know, for example, the postcard now transferred to a QR code.
Yes.
You know, it's still a different strategy, mm-hmm. right? Banners out in the freeway, they're still there. They're just digital. People are getting smarter on how to use their real estate. They're marketing real estate, right? Before they would have to commit to Pizza Hut, have a banner on the side of the freeway for a month or 2 months or 3 months or until he doesn't send his payment in. Now they leverage that same real estate amongst 19 different companies that want to be there for 30 seconds, three times a day for 3 weeks. So, I mean, there's always recycling of cycles and postcards kind of will go dormant, but then they'll just get restructured in a different way. And then by the time they go dormant, the population changed or the education or the learning curve of that population is now adapted to that new way of delivering the postcard.
What would you guys recommend, like a brand new agent, brand new mentee, have no budget? Like, what do you do? We'll start.
No budget?
Nothing. Like, I just literally left. I'm 9 to 5. I'm quitting tomorrow.
So we don't recommend you quit tomorrow.
I'm done, but I'm done with you. I'm done. I'm not going back, bro.
Yeah,
I got 30 days.
Yeah, so I'm very black and white about it. I don't.
But I'm done, bro. But I'm done.
You don't have no money. You don't have no budget.
Tomorrow, I do have money for gas for 30 days. I pay my rent for 30 days. I need a deal. What do you think? What do you guys suggest?
You got to leverage somebody in your community from walked away.
Perfect.
Or you have to. Do what everybody does, man. Driving for dollars or door knocking.
Got it.
Drive for dollars, you know? Door knocking. Yes. Leverage the community.
That's really the bottom of the food chain. Like,
man, you guys, you know? That's why I liked you. It's community.
Yeah.
You brought that up. There's numbers back again. They say that the person who is part of a community and attends the community twice a month will 10x their energy and 10x their income instantly. Go. Only if they only show up twice a month.
Wow.
How many times are you guys meeting?
Once a week, twice a week, three times a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's the point. Well, we meet every day.
Yeah.
We role play every day. 7 to 7 a.m. That's crazy. Yeah.
It has to be. Like, it has to be. You know, it's like, it's just like, God, I have a fucking problem.
With the community?
No, I have a problem with myself. And I got to fix it. But I've done good so far, which is every time I think of something, I don't hold it. I just say it, right? So I had a conversation with my son because he didn't get invited to a tournament over the weekend.
Okay.
And I told him, yeah, you know why? I'll tell you why. Because you're just doing enough. Mm-hmm. That's it. First step, you did enough to get on the team. You went to the tryout. It lasted 2 to 3 weeks. They liked what you had. And then the second stuff, the second step that was enough was pay the fee. Now you're in their system, in their ecosystem. Now because you're in their controlled, very controlled ecosystem, and they own you for the next season, right? They actually go under contract. It's an academy. Now you have to do enough to stay in the team. But I told him yesterday, you know what fucking counts, dude? And I went like this. When your fucking feet are in the pitch, where they're in the field, that's what counts. You being on the fucking bench, that's not enough. But because you have to understand coaching and the system behind coaching and the system on the forefront of coaching, right? The coach, specifically the soccer coach in this case, the back end of the coach, he has to make that sale. He has to make that player believe that he qualified to be on his team. He's selling him, right? Yep. So now he sold him. Now you pay your tuition for the season. But the forefront of the coach wants to look good. So he has to have good players on the field that make that coach look good. Because on the back end, more kids are getting in line to pay the fee.
Well, you brought the mechanics in the community. Because you can join the community, like I tell them, role playing. Because I host a role play every morning.
Yeah.
The camera's not on. Did you show up to be a fan or to be a player?
Yeah.
Fans get drunk and they get hangovers. Players who pay get paid.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you're saying. That's the mechanic of being a community. Yeah. Get in the community. Get a partnership. But you have to get involved. Like you said, get in the field.
Get in the field.
So when you got that opportunity, hey, let's role play. Like, let's do it. Because you do not want to role play on your clients. It's like you say.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Why would you want to fucking do that?
Like, what would you want to bleed in the field when you're actually in the war, when I gave you an opportunity
to go practice?
To go practice with the swords.
Go hit the target.
Go hit, yeah. We're practicing for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you failed to do that. No, I'll do it on the field. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going to get smashed.
I say that all the time, but at least to my kids, right? Yeah. The way you practice is the way you're going to play, right?
Yeah.
So if you're not putting in the effort when you're practicing, guess what your play is going to be like? It's going to suck. Same thing applies, right? We do we do these exercises with some of our students and such, right? And when we'll do the role playing side of things, and everybody cringes, and cuz I make them get up and get in front of the whole class and everything, and get up on stage and read, you know, work with the script, memorize the script, read the script, and then go up there and practice it while you role play, right? And new ones, take the script with you. But the more seasoned guys, don't take the script with you, right? Memorize it, get it up there. And, man, there's some people, well, can I just sit here? Can I? No. if you want to get involved, you want to be in the business, you got how uncomfortable do you think it's going to be talking to a homeowner that you don't even know? At least you're amongst friends here, right?
Yeah.
But how, you can't, like, screw it up here before you screw it up over there, you know? Because exact same thing. Well, I'll get it when I get older. No, you won't. If you can't do it here, you can't do it there.
And I'm glad you're holding yourself accountable, because that's your responsibility. Because when they signed up, if you don't put them out there, you're lying to yourself. And you're not helping them at all. You're actually hurting them.
Yeah.
It goes back to service. When people ask me, hey, why don't you give me free coaching? Free coaching, in my mind, in our community, it's criminal activities. Mm. When you give free stuff, it causes people.
Yeah.
When you pay, it makes you riches.
Right.
And you pay attention. People who pay attention.
Yep.
And remember, when you give free stuff, don't be shocked when the investor tells me, give it to me for free. And don't be mad, because you just apply that to other stuff.
Yeah.
Free stuff, we're not allowed to be doing. Those are criminal activities that needs to be stopped.
I like that. I think I'm going to steal that from you, man.
Go for it. I stole it from somebody else.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so true and so to the point, because, you know, we have to help people make an educated decision, right? We have to help them understand if we are a fit for them or not.
Yes.
Right? And if we are a fit, they have to fully understand and comprehend that there's a process behind it and a process through it. right? So people that pay or people that commit via writing, they've already made, they've already gone through the process and said, you know what? I'm in. And they don't half-ass because sometimes, and people that pay don't half-ass, we have to now get into understanding their learning styles and their learning curve extensions and all that. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all type of deal. Everybody's different, right? Yeah. But a person that pays, I mean, you could have a recently divorced father crumbled by the fact that he has no access to seeing his kids, but he still wants to better himself. And he's going to come and trust you as a coach, and he's going to give you the last XYZ amount of money that he has, because when he comes back around to his family, he wants to be a better man. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, at those points in life, 2 million or 200,000 or 2,000 doesn't fucking matter. It's still all they have. And when they're willing to give it to you, you think they're going to just not put the effort and the attention into it? They want to make the best out of it because they want the best out of it. They want the best out of themselves.
And you brought the coaching thing. And this is what I tell people, mentees. Are you hiring me as a coach, a consultant, or as a mentor? Mm. Do you even know the difference?
Yeah.
Because a coach is going to tell you, through my experience, where to go.
Yeah.
If you hire me as a consultant, I'll tell you, hey, these are the things I've done in the past. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Just understand that you're paying for coaching.
Yeah.
And do I have your permission for me to coach you?
Yeah.
We're going to run the triangle offense right now, buddy. And you're going to inbound the ball. Are you okay with that? You can hire me as a mentor too. And I can just tell you, hey, look, this is the way triangle plays run. Good luck to you. So do you even know the difference between those three?
Understanding the concept.
The concept.
Yeah.
Because I'm a coach. So guess what? I have place for you. Are you ready to follow?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you need a consultation. And for that, we're going to have to book another call.
Right.
Because in consultations, it's hands off, buddy.
And it's like, it's stacking the offers. It's stacking the possibilities. But sometimes people, because they don't understand the concept between A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Well,
it goes back to with the sellers.
Yeah.
And what people call, like, do you even know the benefits and features and advantage of a cash offer?
Right.
Like, as cold caller, do I even know why should this seller go cash? Or why should we just sell traditional?
Yeah.
So do you even know the difference? Do you even know the difference seller finance? Do you even know the benefits is for the seller selling seller finance? Do you know the benefit of subject to?
Yeah.
Now we're talking about knowing your product. You know what I mean? Because it's not the money, it's never the time. Because remember I told you those things are made up.
Right.
The reason people don't do business with you, because you don't have the right product.
You don't, yeah.
The open, so like especially in door knocking, I mean, I'm huge in door knocking. I love it too, all right? I don't do it. I'm not going to preach it that I go every day and do it. I don't. But I used to love it because it takes so much energy to walk across the house to open the door. When you have a ring, you knew I was in the door. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, you took all that energy, all that effort to open. You are interested.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason you're not going to do business because I don't have your product.
Yeah.
And I take full responsibility for that.
Yeah.
But people don't get that. They think the leads suck.
Yeah.
The door knocking sucks. I'm like, bro, you don't even know your product, your service.
It comes down to that. If you don't know your product, I don't care what you do. Right?
Well, you're the product.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know your product, it's like a lot of people, you know, they learn a strategy.
Okay.
And then they come across a deal and they want to force that strategy on every single deal. Just
decide
on
YouTube. Decide. I saw what you do subject to.
Yeah.
And I saw him make 100,000 and everybody's going to do subject to. So I'm like, do you even know the situation where that person was at?
Dude, you can get in so much trouble, you know? I mean, and not legal trouble, but your pocket trouble, you know, your financial trouble. you know, because you didn't arrange or you didn't take on the subject to property the right way.
Yeah.
You were just writing the
But I saw you hype. Doing it. I saw you make $100,000.
Yeah.
And I went based on that. So every time I door knock, I tell my sellers when they open the door, are you interested in subject two? And that's when they say, oh, Rachel, door knocking sucks. I'm like, it does, bro.
Yeah.
To you, it does because your product sucks too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. But everybody has a different approach, every marketing different approach and a different product, right? A different way of delivering it.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe not even necessarily the product, but the way they deliver or push. Like to your point, people learn one strategy and then they just want to shove that down their throat.
It doesn't work.
But they don't even listen to what the problem is and try to solve that problem other than just like you're saying, would you like to do a subject? Can I buy your house subject too? First off, the seller might not even know what that is, right? Yeah. What the hell, dude? What are you talking about? So, yeah, it's not just the product. It's just knowing how to talk and listen.
Listen.
Right? That's the key.
Listening is a big tool in this business.
We do have I'm big on systems and process, all right? So we have a sales process, the greeting, fact-finding, demo, the close, and where the money's at in the follow-up.
Yeah.
Handling objections, we do have a process too.
Yeah.
It's listening, acknowledge, isolate, close.
Yep.
God gave you 2 years so you can listen more, and one mouth you can talk less.
Yeah.
And every time somebody says something, people always like to be heard.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But when you agree with people, that doesn't mean you're buying their bullshit.
Yeah.
But a lot of people like to say, well, you do agree? I do agree with you. But in my head, that doesn't mean I'm buying your bullshit.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go back with the acknowledge what you said. Besides everything you told me, is there anything else that bothers you that's stopping you from doing business with me? That's right. Isolating now. Like, okay, now we get real. Like, but it starts with listening, acknowledge, isolate somebody what the real problem is, and then close them.
Yeah. A lot of people don't do well with closing.
Closing is the easiest part on the sales process.
Yeah. Well, so I mean,
that's the easiest part because you know what's the toughest? The greeting. The greeting is you got 6 seconds
to
grab people's attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in the phone.
Right.
That's the hardest part. Once they do that, and that's where the script is so important. If you know your greeting on the script, as soon as they say, I'm interested, you become a human being in a conversation. Then you start asking. So you are interested in that cash offer. Tell me more of the conditions of the property.
Yeah.
And then guess what? People love to talk about themselves, and people sell themselves.
Yeah.
You sell with feelings, and you close with logic.
Right. Yeah, emotions and logic, man, 100%.
That's how I always, when we role play, I always ask the question, how did that make you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, you were pushy. I need to work on my greeting and my fact finding. Because once you do fact finding and you know the pain, I'm in foreclosure and I'm behind 80,000, I can put you on a cash offer with my investor who can close you in 7 days. See, the close is so simple now because you did so much research and the motivation is there.
Yeah.
That's why I say the close is the easiest part.
And a lot of people have troubles with it.
Yeah, because they don't do fact-finding.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've noticed that a lot of people have troubles with the closing side because they wouldn't want to be closed on. It's like psychological, you know? But closing is a natural step. It's a sales process, and everybody knows they have to go to the cashier.
Yeah.
Everybody knows they have to go to the cashier.
You know what the hardest sell is?
What is it?
Is what people struggle with?
What?
Selling yourself.
Yeah.
That's the hardest is, can I do this?
Right.
Is this valuable?
Yeah.
Am I even helping? Is this even going to help my family? Is this even logical? Selling yourself that this is it, that's the hardest part.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
And that's what, and then you're saying the close is kind of people have a hard time. You know why? Because once you're in the close, you can't go back.
Right.
You can't go back to fact finding because then it turns into a big old circle.
Yeah.
And then the clothes, there's five rules that I have in the clothes. You always have to ask for the business.
Mm.
If you're in a listing, regardless of what time, I'm not ready, you always have to pull up the offer. I understand you're not ready, and I agree with you. Here's the agreement. Because not one thing can blow a deal. You're at that kitchen table for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is willing to open the doors and invite a stranger to their house.
Right. There's a purpose.
There's a purpose, and there's interest in it.
Yeah.
And the only reason they're not doing business with you is because your sales process is broken.
Yeah. You're not the guy.
You're not the guy. You don't have the product.
Right. I walked a property with one of our students, and she was telling me that this agent had been working on this deal for some time now, and he couldn't get the guy to sign the contract after I don't know how many months. And she said, would you have an idea why? And I said, absolutely, yeah. Why? Because up to this date that he doesn't have the ink on the paper, he hasn't been the right agent. He has not been the right agent that the seller is looking for. Everybody has the same stupid contract. You download it from the fucking same place.
Yeah.
And you have the same contract. Mm. It's just the person delivering the product.
You haven't brought enough value
for
them to make a decision.
Yeah. So you listen, you listen, you listen, you listen. At the beginning, I remember I had a hard time listening because I was so anxious to get that deal, my first deal, you know?
Oh, and you had the commission breath.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has,
I had it, commission breath. And I was like, why am I not selling?
Yeah.
And somebody will tell me, do you smell yourself?
Yeah.
What? It was a commission breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm selling with commission. And he taught me three things. Come from a place of value,
mm-hmm.
information, and options.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those three, after here are the options, if you decide not to move forward, that's fine. Because there's only three things that are going to happen when I meet with you. Either you're going to give me your business and we're going to hug it out, we're going to party. Mm-hmm. Or you're not going to give me your business and I'm going to be sad and I'm going to tell my wife, hey, today was a horrible day, I didn't close the deal. Oh, the third step is going to happen. Though three things are going to happen here. The last one, I'm not going to do business with you.
Right.
Now that we got that clear, are you ready to move forward with me?
Easy. That's easy.
You decide.
Yeah. And they do have to decide. You know, when I got stuck with that, my mentor told me, you got to stop selling and start helping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? He said, yeah, you got to stop selling and you got to start helping people. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm selling myself so hard because I'm tied to the outcome.
Oh,
I want that check versus, no, you know what? Matter of fact, let me take 5 minutes more today and just focus on listening to every word you say. And then I found out through experience that giving yourself that extra 5-10 minutes away from your desired outcome allows them to feel your energy, and then they frame themselves. You know, they're selling, like you said earlier, they're selling themselves on why they need to sell. Right? Yeah. But then when you listen, then you agree.
Agree, right? Yes, agree, yep.
You agree to what they're telling you. And then you tell them exactly what they told you.
You agreeing, but you're not buying.
Yeah, you're not. No, yeah, absolutely not.
Because right now, it goes back to sell or be sold. Everybody's selling something every day. You're selling me your opinion right now.
All the time.
It's up to me if I want to buy what you're saying.
Right. The kids, the wife, everything.
Dude, the kids are the food. Biggest salesmen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's like, so you know, you hear them out, you agree, then you tell them exactly what they told you. And then they agree, and then they're sold. They know that the next step is, okay, let's get into the details. We already know the first objection is overcame by the fact that now we both agreed to exactly what you fucking told me at the beginning. But they want to hear it because
they want to agree. Like, oh my God, you do agree with me?
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I agree you don't want to go. I'm totally with you. Besides not going, what else is stopping you?
Right.
Now the real objection comes up.
Yeah, they're like, oh.
Well,
now they got to be clear.
Now they're like, well, I don't want to go because I don't have gas money. Oh, so is that you don't have gas money then?
Yeah. So if I pick you up?
See?
Right? Yeah, no, yeah. What time do you have to be home? I'll bring you back.
Yeah.
Right?
But it goes back to the seller. Like, you know you're foreclosed. You're going to get foreclosed.
It's exactly.
You're $80,000 in debt.
Right.
So why is stopping you from not doing business? I'm going to save your home. I'm actually going to get your equity out.
Yeah.
What's stopping us?
Yeah. It could be.
Just tell me more. Why didn't you like me?
Yeah, it could be. But then, you know, it comes down to.
It goes back and forth.
Well, it goes back to the mind. If you're in, because you have to understand where in your sales process you're on. If you're inside and you're already talking to them in the phone, they are interested.
Yeah.
The only reason they're not doing business with you is because you don't have enough value.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I mean, I'll say this.
Well, your product is not there.
Like when you build up the value and it's your energy not connecting with them, then that rapport, you just put it on a new face. Mm. And send the new face with that rapport. And then maybe you have a better chance. You know? I mean, because let's get to it. We've became a society that are so quick to judge. So quick to judge just by looking at you.
Yeah.
You know, we read, we judge the book. What? How'd you say that shit? By the cover.
Yeah.
So check this out. In real estate, real estate agents and brokers, image is very important. Very important. Okay. So let's just amplify that. In real estate, in the real estate industry, agents and brokers, lenders are very, you know, the suit, the tie, the everything. Yeah. And then when you get an investor that doesn't follow those parameters, the consumer says, the fuck, you're going to buy my house? Where's your suit? They judge you by how you look, not knowing the ton of value that you could potentially bring. But then if you manage to gather some rapport and they don't like you because of how you presented yourself and give that to somebody that is more similar to them maybe, or maybe a female, a different dynamic, your chances, you know, you can't just drop a lead because they said no.
Well,
that's what you have a community for. You go to somebody else and say, hey.
But remember, when somebody tells you no.
It's a bigger yes.
It's the no means it's game on. No negotiations start.
Yeah.
When somebody tells me no, it's game on now.
Yeah.
What is it no now? See, but it's knowing the sales process. And you brought mentorship, man. That's huge. Because all this, I know we met in a big mastermind with mentors.
Yeah.
And how important is that, man? Because it's changed my business.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Just paying for speed, man.
You know what? Because
I hear you say, like, oh, my mentor. Yeah. And I'm like, it's crazy. Even at the years you have and how successful you are, you still have mentorship.
And I still have coaches.
Like Kobe Bryant, like Michael Jordan. Like,
yeah. So sometimes somebody coaching you through patience is just, it's just invaluable, dude. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, problem with patience, huh?
I do. I do have a, and you know who calls me out? Like my son told me the other day, he's like, what's one of your, he's got the most interesting questions. He said, what's one of the biggest problems you think you have right now that you could immediately fix, but you don't, and you're aware of it? That's what he asked me. And I'm like, oh, I have a stupid habit. And he said, what is it? Every time my phone rings, I answer the phone and I start walking. And he said, why? I don't know. Oh, but you're aware of it. Are you fixing it? I'm like, I try to. And every time he calls me, he's like, I'm just calling you, don't walk. And he's helping me through it. Right? And then he tells me, Papi, you have to be patient. You have to be patient. What is moving you to walk? Just be patient. Just stay in your place. He's 16 years old. Just stay in your place and talk to me. Don't walk. Why are you so impatient? I'm working on my patience.
Wow. Yeah, because it translates to your business.
It translates to your business. And sometimes when you're so aggressive, that's a disconnect. Some people are really antsy about doing something, and some people are really passive about doing something. A lot of people take two or three calls or two or three visits, and some are ready. Some are ready, and you lose them because they're ready and you're not. So listening and understanding what they want and resetting in every call and every visit is, I mean, I think it's important, right?
It's working for you. I'm glad.
You know, the mentorships that I've been taking right now, I am trying to expand further my vocabulary from in the beginning, and I want to get into the public speaking realm.
Okay.
Because of the impact that could have.
Story sells.
Stories, you know, facts tell, stories sell. And we were just talking about this earlier. You're going to say your story so many different times. I mean, so many times the same story, it's going to sound boring to you. And it's going to sound boring to your immediate circle. But you're not telling the story to your immediate circle. You're telling your story to the new person that's looking to join your circle. Yeah. Right? Having that impact. And you know, we can go on for ever and ever talking about.
Yeah, you're moving everything into public speaking, and I have a coach for that. There's a whole process that goes through that.
Yeah,
because you got to come from a place of value.
Are you
going to go out there and just speak and just get some clips and highlights? Like, no. What are your intentions and why are you doing this?
Yeah, yeah. Why do you, like? I know I want to do it because. Flipping fucking houses doesn't fulfill me anymore as a human being. I know what that can give me. I know what it's given me. My family knows what it's given me. But the empty little spot here.
Your is, heart?
Maybe.
You can,
like, yeah.
You,
like
you a, can say it. You're human.
Oh, you can't see me, huh? Like
a little tiny heart?
Yeah, like a little spot, void here in the heart, or maybe void here in the brain. It's not being fulfilled by flipping a house anymore or wholesaling a property or cashing another check. So what you learn as you grow and you start learning more about yourself is that we have a bunch of different skills and traits that maybe we haven't even discovered in ourselves that can change somebody else's life.
Place of giving.
But we have to explore. We cannot just explore the business and the industry. We have to explore us. And once you achieve that milestone, then you say, oh, shit, there's more? What the fuck?
Pulling out the strengths, kind of what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
right?
I mean.
Identifying and utilizing those strengths, right, to make something happen.
That's yeah. Great, dude.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Johnny, we have to do something together, man. We have to definitely work together, create something together. I think we have similar views and visions.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I'm here. You yeah. know I mean, you'd have to sell me on it.
We have to turn the AC on next time.
Yeah, no shit.
This AC, it's going to be winter and this AC is going to
this
be
this is new to me, podcast with a sauna.
we're innovative around
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
we're
innovative. Definitely, man. I would like to see if, not try, because I don't use the word try. I'm just like Nike, just do it.
Yeah, let's just
successful.
Do it, bro.
Let's just do it. See if we can collaborate and bring value to your audience.
You know what I would like to do? I would like, this has been on my mind for some time now, and I have to take action on it. And maybe we can start this together, right? As companies, as teams. I would very much like and enjoy a mastermind, a deep, like a super deep business mastermind
Just exclusive? Just certain individuals?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, something exclusive.
Handpicked?
Yes, yes. Because only when you get into those handpicked scenarios, minds are alike.
Yeah.
Similar profiles, right? If you masterminding to upcoming enthusiasts is not masterminding. That's instructing.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because they're looking up to you for whatever it is that you have. But masterminding is more so of, okay, what's the common problem that we have? What helped you fix it?
And there's no, and by the way, there's none in this side. I know there's a couple in L.A., but Riverside and San Bernardino, there's meetups?
Yeah. No, we have to
start. This is a mastermind. It's totally different where, yeah, we can collaborate because I always talk about collaboration.
Collaboration is currency. Important.
Competition happens at the bottom.
Yeah.
Collaboration happens on the top.
Yeah. Remember I was telling you about Green Burrito and Carl's Jr., how they joined forces, you know, yeah. Same
and
building.
Lost all the good stuff out of Green Burrito, man.
Well, you know, but they do this, you know, like Arco AMPM, they're two different companies.
Yeah, because it's not competition. I'm telling you, it's just collaboration, man. Yeah. And Grant talked to me because I asked him a question, Billy, you know, if you would do things different, he goes, I would have collaborated more.
Of course. Yeah.
Collaborating more instead of thinking which of my competition in Riverside.
Yeah.
Oh, NODs, you're going to go to the same because NODs are the same ones in Riverside.
Yeah.
And then in every.
Yeah, city. Everybody's chasing the same address. Say,
okay, but why don't we collaborate? Because at the end of the day, we're just helping these families.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's true.
Yep.
Johnny, we can go all night, man, but we have to plan something out.
Mastermind. Where? You said it. Mastermind.
Mastermind.
I see Mastermind. We just put a date. We can put a date. In August.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's do it in August. Yeah, it's just about putting it in the calendar, writing it down.
Yeah.
I think we can do one in August. Let's put it, handpick. Okay. And let's create some content on it and share it with your audience, my audience. And let's build from there because there are some actions they'd be taking because I don't want to hang around with 10 individuals in one room and just have portals and whatever we're going to eat that day.
Yeah.
There has to be some action, some call to actions.
Yeah.
And because we're doers.
Yeah.
All right. And then do it out there and then spread the love.
Absolutely. I'm 100%. And let's plan the date and let's plan the time and then the infrastructure of it.
You look like a steak and asparagus. And
yeah.
Steak apple, 100%.
Potato. Yeah. 100%.
Steak. I don't know why I came up with portals.
I don't know, man, but steak all the time.
Small-minded yet. Yeah. Don't worry about it. We'll level off. Off in August. Then, yeah, cool, definitely.
Awesome. All right, Johnny, where can people find you, man?
Dr. Johnny Cashflow.
Dr. Johnny Cashflow.
Yes. I help people in pain.
Okay.
The bigger the pain, the bigger the problem, the bigger the paycheck.
Oh, shit. I like that.
I like that.
Yeah, so Dr. Johnny, that's where I'm at right now.
Okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Right on, man. And then beautiful people over here.
Beautiful people, if you want to know more about us, you can send a request at the
hit us info. Up.
Info at becomeaninvestor.com.
There you
info
go.
Info at becomeaninvestor.com. Or you can also hit us up on our social media.
Instagram.
At Become an Investor.
Yes. And you go from there. Don't forget to give us this 5 stars, and I see you guys later.
Right on. Buenas noches, amigos.